well with motion sickness. That's a curse. She's got some good medication that she takes that has really helped out. But on the second day we went out, we had to go out beyond the coral reef out into the open ocean, and it was even rougher out there. The waves, I'm going to guess, were 8 to 10 feet. We were bobbing around pretty good out there as we went out through the reef. But the thing that really got her was when we got there, the waves were so high they couldn't find the buoy in which to attach the boat to anchor the boat to, so they had to just kind of ease around. And if you've ever been out on the ocean, you know the worst thing that can happen is when you get out and you stop. If you're going to get sick, that's when it's going to be. Well, as soon as we got stopped, Renee got sick. Toenail throwing up sick, if you know what I'm talking about. I won't go any more graphic there, but she was one sick person. Now, I'm going to tell you what. She is, without a doubt, the toughest person I know, because she put on her scuba gear and she got in the water sick as a dog. Well, as soon as she went down and got down, and I'd always heard this, the instructor said it, get in the water and you'll be fine. As soon as she got down in the water, I found out that after I finally got in, and I was about ready to go back to the house myself, I would have turned around in a heartbeat if I could have. But she got in, she went down, completed her dive, did all the requirements she had to do, and was fine. Folks, if we will just not give up on something, we can do things that we can't imagine. Now, she probably knew that she could do it, but I didn't. I don't know that I could have. When we look in the Scripture, look at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It says, "But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Folks, when we don't give up, when we do everything we can, when we face trials, when we face temptations, if we will just trust God and don't give up, we'll be stronger in our faith, stronger in our character, and we'll be absolutely certain of our hope. I'm going to tell you what, after what Renee went through that day and what she did, there ain't anything that I don't believe she can't do. And she probably feels a certain amount, she has to feel a certain amount of accomplishment for what she did. I felt pretty much like a wimpy little boy, at the way I was feeling after what she went through. When we do, when we trust, when we just go ahead and do and don't give up, keep going forward, we can do things that we can't even imagine. It would have been real easy to give up and go back. It would be real easy and give up and go back on God sometimes when things come into our life and difficulties and challenges. But if we will just do our very best, continue forward, and not give up, there's all sorts of things that we can do. I learned in Belize that we can do unbelievable things if we don't give up, keep trying. The second thing that I learned in Belize is to trust your equipment and your guide. I got a couple of pictures there, John. See the shark there? We actually swam with those sharks right there. That's a nurse shark, and if you know what a nurse shark is, you know that they're not aggressive and they're not man eaters or woman eaters. They are pretty docile. We actually were able to pet the shark. The guide grabs them, the dive master grabs a hold to it, and the shark just kind of goes limp, and we pet them, we rub them. There are barracudas swimming around us, stingrays, moray eels. We even saw a moray eel. There's all sorts of stuff down there that's pretty that when you look at it and you think about it, you're pretty frightened. And I tell you, I was not interested in swimming around any sharks. But once I got in the water and was able to trust the equipment that we had and breathe underwater, that's another thing that's kind of a hard thing to get used to. I've spent 51 years holding my breath when I jumped in the water. And all of a sudden now I'm jumping in the water and I'm breathing. It's kind of difficult to do. It's difficult in your head to get through. But if you trust your equipment and you trust your guide, You don't have a problem. Or we didn't. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says this. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Folks, if we can just learn to trust our equipment, this Word, it's what God has given us as a manual to live by. It's our equipment that we have in dealing with life, with difficulties, with joys and sorrows. It's what we have that enables us to answer the questions of life, or at least be satisfied that I don't have to have an answer now, but I can just trust. If we can be happy, if we can learn to trust our equipment plus our God. In this passage of Scripture that I just read, who is it that's the God? Know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. Our God, the Lord God, will not fail us. Our equipment, His Word, will not fail us. Now, that equipment that we get in the water and scuba dive with, they do fail. The guides, they can lead you in the wrong place. But our Lord and our God, His Word will never fail us. We can be certain of that. I learned in Belize that we can trust our equipment, His Word, and we can trust our God, the Lord God. The third thing that I learned in Belize I learned that we will only see what we are truly looking for. I learned that I can see only those things at which I look. A couple of pictures here. That picture there is Renee's view laying down. The next picture, that's Renee's view sitting up. That was our last day. We spent the whole day, basically, both of us with that same view. We were laying on the beach and we could see up, and we sat up on the beach and we could see out to the sea. I didn't see a whole lot else that day. It was the last day of our vacation, and we just relaxed and enjoyed. All day long, sky and sea. Ignoring everything else around us. Ignoring those that were coming along selling souvenirs and gifts. You had to learn, that was one thing you had to learn. You had to learn to ignore them, because if you made eye contact with them, they'd come up and try to sell you something. But if you just kept your eyes closed and didn't pay them any attention, they'd go on. Verse 12, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews tell us this. Chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For who the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, if we're looking into our religious activities, or looking at our religious activities as the means by which we will be saved or encounter God or see God, if we're looking at the good deeds that we do and the ministries that we're involved in and the time and the money that we contribute to church, to God's work, if we look at the moral fiber that we have and that we're just good, outstanding citizens and all, if those are the only areas in which we look, then what we're going to see is just a good person. We're not going to see anything beyond that. We're not going to see God because we have not made a connection with God. To see God, we have to look for God. We have to focus upon Him. We have to search for Him and look for Him. We can't just see God sitting here in the four walls of a building. Where you're going to encounter God is out there in the world, and reaching out and loving and caring for and ministering to His people. That's where we will see God. If you want to find God, if you want to see Him, you have to look for Him. When we're doing all those other things, we'll only see ourselves. We need to be looking to Jesus. And the place that we find Jesus is the cross. We find Him at the cross where He gave up and sacrificed for each one of us. In Belize, I learned that we will only see those things for which we look. The fourth thing that I learned in Belize. The fourth thing I learned is that there is only one road. A couple more pictures there. That picture there, that was on the day that we, in the place where we were at on this island that we're at, Ambergris Key, there was the main mode of transportation was golf cart. And everybody was on golf carts. The only real vehicles that were on the island for the most part were taxis and some service type vehicles. So we took a golf cart one day, rented a golf cart, and explored the island. We got down to the southern point of the island on the road, and that's what it turned into. Just as far as you can see there down, it's hard to tell, but it's water. The road is covered by water. Renee wanted to go on farther, but I was not ready to do that. We would have had some real stories to tell probably if I'd have done that. But that road, sometimes we have to realize that the road just runs out for us. Second picture. We had gone up to the north end of the island about as far as we dared go. It had got so rough and all we thought we better turn back. And they had said in the agreement when you rented the golf cart that you could only go to a certain point. Well, we had gone way beyond that. And that if you went beyond that point and something happened, they'd charge you $50 to come get you. So we went on and we were coming back and we saw this road. And this is a brand new road almost. It's all filled in. And it just, when you pulled up on there, you can just see it far as you go. I said, why don't we ride down that road and just see what's out there? We start off, we ride for probably close to 2 miles down that road. And nothing changes. That's the way it looks, the whole 2 miles. We got down there that far and I thought, I think we better turn around and go back. This doesn't look real promising. Sometimes roads just go nowhere, folks. Sometimes the road runs out. Sometimes you can take a nice road and it just takes you nowhere. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. On that island, there were a lot of dirt roads, but there was only 3 paved roads. One main road, which we spent most of our time on, but there's other little cut-throughs around in neighborhoods and such. But there are 3 main roads, Center Street, which goes the length of the island, Front Street, which is next to the ocean, Back Street, which is the other side. Those are only 3 paved roads. And to get anywhere on that island, really get anywhere, you have to go down Center Street. Folks, to get anywhere in life, to get anywhere with God, we have to go down Center Street, which is Jesus Christ. For me, to get home today, I've got to go on Fairfield Terrace. I cannot, unless a helicopter picks me up and sets me down there, I cannot get to the house without going to Fairfield Terrace. Each one of you has got a road that you have to go on, I'm sure, unless you live on a corner and you can go different ways. Every one of us has that road that we have to go on. No way that I can get home except Fairfield Terrace. Folks, there's no way we can get to God except through Jesus Christ. No way that we can get to God except through Jesus Christ. Now, we may not have to go the exact same way there's a lot of different ways I can go and get to the house. I've got to go on Fairfield Terrace, though. Folks, we can wind our way around in life and make some wrong turns and run to some dead-end roads that the road just runs out, and we can hit some roads that just kind of lead to nowhere. But to get to God, we have to go back to Center Street, Jesus Christ. And if we try to do anything else other than that, we're fooling ourselves. We're wasting our time and wasting His. All there is only one road. I learned that in Belize. The next thing that I learned, the fifth thing, I learned that people of all times and all races, all ages and everything, that people have always been trying to get close to God. The next picture, John. That is a picture of a Mayan in the Mayan ruins. It's a temple. It's at a place called Lamanai. Go Google it and look it up when you get home on the internet. It's a massive complex that they've only excavated about 2% of, I think they said. That temple there is 110 feet, a little over 110 feet high from ground to top. You can see how steep it is going up there. It's built in several levels, 110 feet high. It's a job climbing up that thing, and it's even worse coming down it, believe me. But that thing was built over a period of time from about 3000 BC up to about the time of Christ, if I remember correctly. It was built over a period of 3,000 years or so, in stages and add-ons and those kind of things. There was worship carried out there in the Mayan religion. There were sacrifices made there. There were human sacrifices along with animal sacrifices that were conducted in the Mayan religion. People built that for the purpose of worship, so that they could try to get closer to the God that they understood and knew. Higher and closer to God. In Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the prophet Samuel says, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Prophet Samuel is telling us here that while everybody is trying to get closer to God, in the temple worship that was going on in Samuel's day and time, or not the temple worship right at that point, but the worship at the tabernacle, that what people were trying to do was to get closer to God, to appease God, to satisfy God, to honor God, to let them know that they were worshiping Him. It was the same thing back in the Mayan days. Although, thank God that He showed a group of people that it wasn't necessary to offer human sacrifice for that purpose. It was the same kind of thing. People were trying to get closer to God, to worship God. People of all ages and even today are trying to get closer to God. And the way we do that today, folks, God has shown us a more perfect way. More perfect way than offering animal sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. A more perfect way than offering any kind of human sacrifice or building any kind of structure to reach up to God. A more perfect way in that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might be forgiven. And what He asks of us is to be obedient and to show mercy. In Matthew chapter 9 and 12, Jesus quotes the prophet Hosea when He talks about mercy being better than sacrifice. Samuel here says that obedience is better than sacrifice. If you want to get close to God, practice mercy and be obedient to His call. In Belize, I learned that people have always been trying to get closer to God. Today, we can come close to Him by hearing His voice, being obedient, and showing mercy to the world in which we live. The final thing that I learned in Belize is that life comes at a cost. I learned in Belize that life comes at a cost. John, show the next slide there. Any of you know what that plant is? It's a tropical type plant. You see them in Florida. It's a mangrove. Any of you familiar with the mangroves? Seen the mangroves? Mangroves grow in the saltwater areas for the most part, these in particular. The island there where we were on, almost the whole coastline, unless it was a developed area, was covered with the mangroves. Little islands out everywhere on the leeward side of the island. The mangroves are a very, very important plant in tropical areas, in coastal areas. The roots go down and they provide a sanctuary for all sorts of marine life and birds and those type things. But you notice something about that plant there. Do you see that one leaf up there kind of to the left and hanging down? Looks dead, doesn't it? Do you know that that plant there, that I believe, if I remember correctly, that 1 out of 10 of the leaves on a mangrove tree or plant, 1 out of 10 leaves, you will see are dying or dead. And the reason they die is because the salt water that the plant takes in is filtered through just one leaf. Not all the leaves, which would kill the whole thing, but one leaf. This just brings cold chills to me when I think about it and I see that. One leaf of that plant sacrifices itself so that the whole plant might live. It filters the salt that would kill. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Life is such a precious thing, folks. Life is such a precious gift from God. We need to know at what cost it has been bought for us. Our eternal life is not cheap. Just like that plant, the mangrove, part of it has to die so that the whole thing may live. Jesus Christ died so that you and I might live. Life comes at a cost. I learned that in Belize. This morning, know that your life is worth the price that God paid. You are a valuable person in His eyes. He would not have sent His Son for anyone that wasn't worthwhile. And this morning, if your life is not in Him, I invite you to place your whole being, all that you are, in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's already been paid for. He has already died so that we might live. May God grant you the grace and the peace and the understanding that you can learn the simple things of this life and the simple things that we experience every day. God is present wherever we are. Look for Him and experience Him. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your grace and Your love. We thank You that Jesus came And he didn't fail in his job, but that he gave himself so that we might be forgiven. Lord, I thank you for the price that was paid. Help us to live as people redeemed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.